Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Who do people say that I am? But who do you say that I am? Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man be also ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. My dear friends, these words of our Lord this morning, they are a hard Lenten teaching. My dear friends, there are many things that we have to do in this life that are difficult. One of the most difficult things that I've ever had to do was leave my wife and go to war, to go into a combat zone, not knowing that I would ever see her again. It was a hard thing to leave, but it was a joy to return. Today, our Lord speaks of suffering, and he speaks of death, for we know that in combat, for those of you who have been in combat, if you ever have been, there is tremendous suffering. And yes, you're surrounded by death all day long. But what did Jesus tell his disciples? He said that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. I know that sometimes it's difficult for us to talk about suffering. It's difficult for us to talk about death. It's difficult to talk about it plainly. We want to kind of cover it up. We don't want to let other people know. We want to mask our emotions at times. And yes, we surely don't want to talk about our loved ones who have died in the faith. There are so many things that remind me of my grandfather, of my grandmother. And yes, it brings tears to our eyes. And in a way, that is a form of suffering. For we are remembering the saints who have gone before us. There are those of you who are here today are remembering your husband or your wife or a child or an aunt or uncle or a cousin who has gone before you. And yes, it brings a tear to the eye. We don't like talking about it, but we know that Jesus spoke plainly to his disciples about suffering and about death. Jesus makes very clear this morning his role and his mission as your suffering servant. That's something else that the world doesn't like talking about. Jesus as a suffering servant. Oh, they'd rather see Jesus as a white, pristine little lily who never was darkened or was blackened by our sin. They put Jesus up on a pedestal and that's where they keep him, kind of shoved off to the side. Never is he to be dusty or to be blackened. Never is he to be really discussed at all. Yet you and I know that our servant was a suffering servant. He was a Savior who was beaten and bloodied and nailed to a cross. Here is where he was lifted up, and here is where he will remain. And that's why Lutheran pastors especially wear a crucifix. It's to remind you of what Jesus has done for you and what he has done for me. People find this offensive at times. And why do they find it offensive? Because they don't like thinking of Jesus as a suffering servant. And you know, there was a disciple who did the very same thing. He didn't like hearing that his Messiah, the one who would save them, would be despised and rejected and beaten and nailed to a cross in Jerusalem. So this disciple took him aside and he began to rebuke him. Yes, you know his name. His name is Peter. Now, I know in this life that some of you have been rebuked before. After all, you were a son or a daughter. I too am a son and I've been rebuked many times. Maybe in your job, your boss has rebuked you. Maybe on the farm, someone has done something incorrect. An animal has died. A piece of equipment was broken because they weren't paying attention to what they were doing. They weren't listening. And it is right to take them aside and to rebuke them, to correct them, because next time it could be their life. But why does Peter take his Lord aside and begin to rebuke him? What is he trying to prove? Peter doesn't want his Savior, his Messiah, to suffer death. He certainly doesn't want him to die. Now that sounds honorable in itself, but as we think about it, who was speaking through Peter? In our adult Bible class this morning, I had a wonderful slide that I found which speaks volumes. Here we see Peter pointing at Jesus, and at Peter's feet is the serpent. It's the Satan speaking through Peter, trying to prevent Jesus to be a suffering servant for you, for me, for Peter, and for the other 11, and for the whole world. So Jesus stops, he turns and faces Peter, and he faces the other 11, and what does he say? Something that sounds quite familiar, for we hear the same in the 4th chapter of Matthew. Get behind me, Satan. In other words, get out of my sight, for you are offensive to me. For on your mind, you are thinking of the things of man and not of the things of God. Jesus rebukes Peter's satanic temptation. You see, Peter wanted a popular Messiah, a Messiah who would continue to work miracles and make Peter's life kind of easy. After all, Jesus was doing all the hard work, wasn't he? And all Peter had to do and the other 11 was just follow him. They were getting off scot-clean, if you will. But Jesus said, oh, no, 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 it's not that way. You see, Jesus then turns and rebukes them because Peter needed to be rebuked. And yes, there are times in our lives, especially in our spiritual lives, when we need to be rebuked. We need to be reminded that we as Christians, we are not to be thinking of the things of man. And what are those things of man? Well, all you have to do is pick up the newspaper or turn on your news in the evening, and you see it all over the place. Matter of fact, I've kind of stopped watching television, especially the shows that are on, because that's all they are. Sex, drugs, intermarriage, that is, a man and a man and a woman and a woman, and many other sins that we don't need to be seeing because those are the things of man. But it's deeper than that. Those who try to buy their way into heaven, they need to be rebuked. Our good works will not save us. All the money in the world will not purchase eternal life for you. If you think that you can find Jesus in places where he is not to be found, what are you going to find? Well, you'll find ultimately that which is evil. Yes, we also want a popular Messiah. Sometimes we don't like thinking that Jesus had to suffer and to die for us. We don't like seeing him beaten and bloodied and nailed to a cross. That's why the movie Passion of the Christ, Gibson's film, was so horrendous for many. And as I watch the crucifixion and the scourging, it still makes me cry, because I realize that's the kind of Messiah that I do want. Because he was a suffering servant for me, and he went to the cross for me, so that I would not have to endure what he had to endure. And therefore, since my sin was placed upon him and your sin was placed upon him, we were given a free gift. A gift that we cannot buy. A gift that we have nothing to exchange for, given freely because of his blood. Then Jesus gets to the heart of the matter. He says, if anyone would come after me, in other words, if anyone would follow me, Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. This portion of our holy gospel this morning reminds us of our sermon hymn, doesn't it? Ashamed of Jesus. Now, I know that there are many things that you may be ashamed of in your life. There are some things that I'm ashamed of in my life. And you know, each morning when I wake up, before I rise out of bed, who's there to tip me with those shameful things? Who's there to always remind me that, oh, wait a minute, you've done this and this and this in your life, and you call yourself a pastor? Come on. Did God really say that? Did God really call you? After all, look what you did to your wife or to your husband or to your friend. You really think you're going to heaven? You see, in those times, that's when the evil one comes. And he doesn't want us to deny ourselves. Actually, he wants us to do just the opposite. He wants us to puff ourselves up and to make us think that we don't need a suffering servant. No, but Jesus this morning, my friend, he calls you to lose your life for his sake. And how do you lose your life? Well, we saw a life lost last week, didn't we? Little Garrett came to the waters of holy baptism, and he lost his life. He lost his sinful life, and he was given a new life in the waters of holy baptism. And for each of you who were baptized at that font, or the old stone font back here in the fireproof safe, that's where you lost your life. You had nothing to do with it. It was the work of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You have lost your life for his sake. And since you have lost your life, you now will bear the mark of a Christian. And what is that mark of a Christian? Persecution. Each day I pray for those Christians who are being rounded up in the Middle East. For that's what ISIS is doing. In their own perverted religion, they think that they are purifying the land by destroying those who are Christian or of any other religion, who are homosexual or who are sinful in any way and who won't confess that Allah is God. Therefore, they must purify the land. And how do they purify the land? They behead or they burn. So each morning we see, or each evening on the news you see, Christians bearing their cross, suffering in this life because they confess the name of Jesus. And as they bear their cross, that suffering that is in their life, they are following the one who will lead them into eternal life. But how does that apply to us? As of yet, there's no one kicking down the door of our home and dragging us out and cutting our head off. Oh, but there are many other ways that we suffer, isn't there? Physical problems, mental problems, cancer, issues with children, problems at work, problems on the farm. So many problems, so many issues, suffering. Suffering that God brings into our lives. So, my friend, you will begin to realize that, you know, I can't live this life by myself. I'm not an island unto myself. I have been purchased by the blood of the Lamb. I have been washed clean in the waters of holy baptism. And that suffering that comes into our life shows us that we need this cross. It brings us to the foot of the cross, and there we cling to the cross. And as we cling to our cross, and as we bear our cross, the blood of the Lamb is dripping upon us and washing us clean once again as we confess our sins, For we believe what Scripture tells us, that God is faithful and He is just, and He will cleanse us from all of our sins. And that cleansing continues. And it continues today as you come to this altar and you take into your body His body and you drink His blood for the forgiveness of your sins. You see, Jesus wants you to bear your cross so that you will lose it. You bear your cross and you will lose your earthly life, your earthly flesh, but you've been given a new life. You've been given an eternal life. You've been given newness of life. And in heaven, there is no more disease. There is no more crying or mourning. There is no more sickness. For we know that in the book of Revelation, God Himself tells us that as we come into His kingdom, we will be given a new robe, new clothes, and placed upon our heads will be a crown of life, and we will rule with Him forever and ever. But in this life, we hear this hard teaching, this hard Lenten teaching of suffering, of rejection, of death, of hopelessness, of sin. And as we become absorbed into this world, which I pray that you will not, you know that there has been a hard-won victory for you. A hard-won victory by a Messiah who is truly a Messiah, the Son of God, who has truly died and rose for you. Yes, in this wicked world, we will face many persecutions and many sufferings. But my dear friend, always remember the question that Jesus has asked you. But who do you say that I am? We say that you are the Christ, the Lamb of God, who has taken away the sins of the world. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God that surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.